Thanks for checking out the Anchor Faith Message podcast from St. Augustine, Florida. Now enjoy this message.
Well, we all know this year is about the reigning spirit, right? So you disagree with me that I can get across to you what's in me tonight about an enemy to your reigning spirit. You understand, and you got to have this foundation first, is that you are a spirit. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And so your spirit man, the Holy Ghost, when you got born again, came to live inside of your spirit man. And he lives inside of your spirit man now to lead you and to guide you in the truth, and to show you things that are to come, and to guide you in every endeavor that you're in life. And you know, this is his time, and this is his dispensation. This is the dispensation of the church and the Spirit of God. And so that's what he's called here to do, is to live within you and upon you and do you with power, so that you can live in this crazy world that we're in and you can have the victory. And you don't have to succumb to any heaviness or any thoughts or any demise or anything that would take you down or take you under. You don't have to succumb to that. You can live in victory, and we're supposed to have a reigning spirit. But I do want to talk to you a little bit about trusting. I want to just fortify you tonight in your trust in the Lord. But one of the enemies to a reigning spirit is the reasoning mind. The reasoning mind. And I just want to talk about that just a little bit. You know, in my studies for tonight, I could not get out of Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to get there, but I first want to start with Proverbs chapter 3. And can I just say, Proverbs chapter 3 tends to be a cliche scripture that we love to throw out. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I'll lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I'll acknowledge him, and he'll make my path straight. It's all great and awesome that you can quote it, but do you do it? Are you actually doing it? You know, we like to quote, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We like to do that, but we forget sometimes the beginning of that and the end of that is, but their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. So if you don't have that trust in him, you can't be saying no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You got to first be fortified in him and trusting in him. But I do want to talk about this reasoning mind, because the more and more I see people in the church and outside of the church, I see that we tend to lean to our own understanding. We tend to lean to our own perception, our own feelings, our own emotions about a certain situation, and the Lord wants you to trust in him at all times. That his praise would continually be in your mouth, that he's the one that you're constantly shifting to, constantly looking to. So let's go to Proverbs 3, and I actually want to read it, a few other scriptures in it. I want to start with verse 1. It says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes." Let me say that again. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." When it says lean not to your own understanding, that actually does mean your own perception, your own understanding of something, your own viewpoint, your own emotions, your own feelings about something. And you have to ask yourself, in everything that you do, when something hits you, when a trial hits you, when a relationship hits you the wrong way, when something hits you, what is your first reaction? What is your first go-to? And Luke said, that's his first. We're going to talk to you a little bit tonight. If your first reaction is to respond and not yield to the Holy Ghost, then that's where we need to make the adjustment. If your first reaction is to quickly speak and not yield and time out and wait, you know, we adults need a time out. Sometimes, not just yield and wait and say, Holy Ghost, what do you want me to do in this situation? That you don't take your own understanding of whether it's your finances, whether it's a trial, whether it's your job, no matter what it is, your life circumstances, you take your own understanding of that, and that's the way it is. And that's why, honestly, there's a lot of people that are just doing what they want to do and going their own way. And the scripture is very clear about that. And we're going to get to it. We're going to talk about it. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, it's not going to be up there. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. I want to read it to you in another translation. The spirit of man is Yahweh's lamp, searching all his innermost parts. You know, the scripture in Romans says, those who are the children of God or the sons of God are the ones that are led by the Spirit of God. And the scripture says, in your spirit, God is the light. He is the lamp. He is the one that's leading you in everything that you do. And so anytime in life something comes at you, your first response should be not to, and you know, the psalm says, I look to the hills from where my help comes. You know, the help doesn't come from the hills anymore. The help comes from the inside. The help comes from the Holy Ghost. And your first response should be to look inward and say, Holy Ghost, you're leading me. I'm yielded to you. You know, you can quench the Spirit of God. You know, you can grieve him, the Bible says. You can put the fire out of the Holy Ghost. You can quench him in everything that you do. And you don't want to be in that position where you're quenching the Spirit of God. And I say that because this scripture says the Holy Ghost is in you, searching the very innermost of your being. And so there's not anything that gets away from him. There's not anything that hides from him. Everything is naked and exposed before him. And I'm going to tell you, if there's anything in you, anything in your heart that you've not dealt with, the Holy Ghost has definitely talked to you about it. And it's going to keep you in a position of guilt and condemnation. And if you stay there, you'll not live by faith. You'll not live by faith. And you can say, we just sang the song, how he saved me, how he delivered me, how he set my feet on solid ground. And we sing that and we say, God, you delivered me. God, you set me free. You set my feet on solid ground. But for some reason now, we want to do what we want to do. We want to have our own plans. We want to have our own minds. And in Galatians, it says, how come you foolish people? How come? And the scripture says that. I'm not saying that. You started this thing out in the spirit, and now you want to perfect it by doing it in the flesh. And honestly, we got to stop. And I asked the Holy Ghost, where do you want me to go tonight? And there must be at least one of us. I bet there's more than that that needs to take a little step back and look inward and go, you know, I've kind of been leaning to my own plan, my own understanding, my own what I want to do. You know, even in the story of Mary and Martha, you know, Martha was cumbered about with many things that she thought the Lord wanted her to do. But was it what he wanted her to do? And we get all upset or mad because we're doing all these things for God, or we're doing all these things, or I'm getting this list done. How come my sister's not helping me? How come my sister in Christ not helping me? How come my husband ain't helping me? I'm getting my list done, but I'm not doing anything as unto the Lord. I'm doing everything as unto me. In my own plan, in my own way. Now, Proverbs 28:26 says, He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 1, and you can follow along with me on the screen. Romans chapter 1, to me, is something that I can read and just get so passionate about, because I see it not just in people that are outside of the church, but people that are in the church. And you know, sometimes we think, we read this and we go, a reprobate mind, that's not me. I'm not that. But we're going to look at what the definition of that is tonight. But let's start in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Thank God for righteousness. "For the wrath of God is revealed," now listen to this, "for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them." Are you listening? "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful." Let me read that again. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile because they didn't glorify him as God and because they were not thankful. They did not have him as Lord, and they were not thankful." Are you glorifying him as God every day? Is he first? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? And are you thankful? Those are two very, very important, very powerful principles. "So they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie." And listen to this part. "And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. We are living in a time where people are worshiping and serving the creation, the creature, yourself, me, what I want, what I feel, what I need, instead of the Creator. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural..." You know why this is happening all over the earth today, right here? He gave the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind or a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting or not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, I'm not trying to get y'all all serious tonight. We're going to talk about trusting in God and not your own self, but we got to talk about this for just a minute. The reprobate mind actually means it was tested. The mind was tested and not approved. It was rejected. Okay? The thoughts. You know the scripture says that he searches the innermost part of your belly, everything that's going on in you, and the eyes of the Lord are roaming to and fro looking for somebody whose heart is right before him. What does that mean? What does that mean? What is your mind thinking on? Can your mind be tested and approved? Can the Lord sees every thought in your mind? Can your mind be tested and approved or rejected? What's going on in your mind? Are you glorifying God? Listen, this, I know it's, the Bible says not to get away from the simplicity that's in Christ. I know this may sound simple, but what I'm saying to you is this is life and this is how you overcome. And every single day of your life when something hits you, you're either going to choose life or you're going to choose death. You're going to choose life in your thoughts or you're not. You're going to choose what the Word of God says, or you're going to choose what you feel about it, what you think about it, what your mind and what your emotions are saying about it. And you know, your emotions are loud. I get that. They are super loud and they can certainly talk, but you got to have enough maturity and enough discernment that when those things hit you, you're able to properly step back and discern. Like the scripture says, those that are a mature and of full age by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. That I can recognize, woo, my emotions are lit right now. They are on fire about something. I feel angry. I feel frustrated. I feel disappointed about something. What are you going to do with that feeling? What are you going to do with that emotion? You going to respond to it? You going to respond to the circumstances of it? This is where our maturity happens right here. Is when those things come at us that we're able to stop for a minute and say, Holy Ghost, what are you saying? Lead me, search my heart, see my anxious thoughts, see if there's anything offensive in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If David can do that, and we have the Holy Ghost within us and upon us, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for us. And when I read Romans chapter 1, we're talking about people who really can have been preached the Word of God, can look at creation and say, there's a God, have maybe even quoted some scriptures here and there, but you've got to guard your heart as a believer that you are always, always giving him the glory and always acknowledging him first and always being thankful so that you don't slip into, because we're seeing people in the church slipping into this debased mind. slipping into this unrighteous thinking and starting to make choices that go along with the reasoning of their mind. It should not be happening with us. It starts with a thought every single time. And then when it says they were vain in their imagination, that means the thinking of a man deliberating with himself. The thinking of a man deliberating with himself, it means inward reasoning. It means questioning what is true. It means hesitating and doubting or disputing. That's what it means when they were vain in their imaginations. What are your imaginations on? What are your thoughts on? It says they were darkened, and that means the eyes of their understanding were not enlightened. They were darkened. Your desires don't define you. Can I just say that? Just because you have a desire does not mean that's you. Just because a passion or a thing comes at you, you better know enough of the Word of God, and you better have enough in you to say, I recognize where that's coming from, and I'm going to kill that and squash that right now so it doesn't become a passion or a lust in me. Believers, this is believers. I'm talking to believers tonight. The devil is coming at you just like he is everybody else, day and night, day and night. But you have the victory. Amen. We have the victory. You have the victory. And remember, a couple of Sundays ago, I said, you better look like and act like you have the victory on the inside all the time. Because you do, because he's under your feet. And that's why righteousness is such a big subject for you to understand. When it says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it's because, remember, that's a gift to you. There are fruits of righteousness, and you will do righteous things, but you first have to understand that he made you righteous. And there's nothing that you did to earn it other than you believed. And once you believed and you became righteous, you right then are seated in heavenly places with him, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and everything that's named. You're far above it. That's where you're seated in your righteousness. And so when the accuser of the brethren is coming at you with those fiery darts, you have the Holy Ghost, you have Jesus all interceding for you and talking to you and leading you. It's nothing for you to say, okay, I hear you. Okay, I know what the Word of God says. That's under my feet. I don't have to yield to that. You know, the Bible says you're seated in the presence of your enemies. They're there, they're gonna be there, but you gotta stay seated. You gotta stay seated at the table. I remember, and I've shared this before, when I was a Rhema student, and I had gotten home from class one night, and I was listening to Brother Hagin, and he was talking about casting your cares upon the Lord. And he started talking about Psalm 23 and being seated at the table. And he said, pass me a big bowl of victory. And then he got kind of wound up. He said, pass me a bowl of joy. And then he got a little more wound up, and he said, pass me a bowl of peace. Well, I was sitting in my apartment parking lot, and I opened my little door of my car, and I took off running down the street. Left it playing in my car, just something hit me, and I just all by myself, dark at night, just took off running. Because I got it. It clicked with me. I was like, yes, I don't have to worry about a thing. I can rejoice when anything comes. My brethren, rejoice when you face trials of many kind, because you know why? The testing of your faith develops perseverance. And sometimes the testing of our faith makes us want to run. We want to blame other people and we want to run. Or we want to stay offended when something comes instead of going, well, glory to God, this is a test. And I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to count it all joy. Okay, I better get through my notes. Jeremiah chapter 17. verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, or trusts in yourself, and makes flesh his strength. Cursed is that man, whose heart departs from the Lord. For that man, he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not even see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Oh, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For that man, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart, then it goes on to say, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Okay, if he's giving to you every man according to his ways, do you think it's just everything that you do outwardly? Or do you think he also is looking at what you're thinking and what the meditation of your heart is? Always, always. He sees every bit of it. Now, let's shift over into, if you're reasoning, if you're trusting in your own mind, then really that's just a good indicator that you're not trusting God. That you're doubting, that you're letting unbelief come in. You know, one moment of worry squashes every bit of faith that you have. You can come in here and you can get built up in the spirit. You can do your Bible reading at home and you can feel strengthened. And then something hits you and you take about 10 minutes to worry about it and meditate on it. And you just squashed every bit of faith that you had. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give him an inch. You've got to be that precise, that deliberate in your mind, in your meditations, in your actions, that no matter what comes to you, you know exactly what to do. You discern it, and you know exactly what to do with it. Do not let doubt remain in you. All right, so let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven, and he is a shield to all those who trust in him. Amen. As for the Lord, his way is perfect. Do you not know? I mean, all of you, I could look at all of you, and you could all say, I was without the Lord at one time. We can all say that. We go, wow, he set me free. He delivered me. He put me in a great church. Look at what he's done for me. But then we get this certain trial and we think he doesn't have the strength to handle it. We think he doesn't have the wisdom to do anything with it. We think the Holy Ghost is not really our helper. We think he's just there to give us goosebumps. We don't really realize the Holy Ghost is really our comforter. We think we're supposed to worry about it. The Holy Ghost is your guide. He's your counselor. He's your comforter. He's your helper. He's the one that leads you in everything that you do. You shouldn't have any reason to worry at all. And you know, people like to say, well, I'm just worried about so-and-so. I'm just a little concerned. I'm just concerned that they're not going to, well, then you have zero faith. And people will get downright mad at you for telling you you shouldn't be worrying about something. People will get upset at you for rebuking you for your emotions. I found a scripture the other day. I wish I could remember where that was. That gave me permission to slap people. And I need to find that. So I think I said it in my KI class, but it literally said something about you ought to be happy about it when I slap you and when I rebuke you. It was something like that. It was something along the lines as when a friend or when a pastor or when a, you know, some spiritual person in your life just kind of, hits you or wants to slap some sense into you, that you ought to be happy about it. So there. Psalms 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold." You know, he's a strong tower, and the Bible says the righteous run into him and they're safe. Safe from all harm, from anything that could come to you. Psalm 62:8. I just want to build you up in your trust a little bit. I just want to slap you, though, about your own reasoning, about your own understanding. And I also want, and we'll either do it at the end of the service or you better do it when you leave here, to take a minute and say, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for having my own plans. Forgive me for making my own way. Forgive me for reasoning things out in my mind. Forgive me for justifying my situation." Because we do that. We justify our situation as to why we're going through it and whose fault it is. Let me keep reading. "Trust in him at all times, you people." I feel like that's the way I want to say it. "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Psalm 84, verse 1. Let's read a few of the verses here. "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of my God. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage," or God's way of doing things. "As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools, and they go from strength to strength." That means when they pass through a valley of weeping, when yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No evil. You know, when you're walking through the valley of anything, that the scripture says it's just a shadow. I can see my shadow right there, but that's not really me right there laying down on the carpet. Here I am. That's just a shadow. When you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not anything that can really take you out, as long as you keep your trust in him, as long as you keep your faith in him. Just go. Sometimes you ought to just say, "That's just a shadow. That's just a shadow. I'll fear nothing. I'm not going to fear anything." So it says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on God's way. As they pass through the valley of weeping," or a valley of trial, a valley of testing, "they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, each one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you." The scripture, did y'all hear that? The scripture says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly from the inside out. Can I say that? from the inside out. No good thing is he going to withhold from those who walk uprightly. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. You know, you're going to have a lot more. You're going to experience a lot more victory, a lot more blessing, a lot more overcoming, a lot more things coming your way if you'll just rest and trust. If you'll just have faith, you know the minute that you start getting worked up about something. You know it. Your blood pressure rises. Your heart starts pumping. You start trying to figure things out on your own. You got to cut that out. You got to recognize the minute that you start doing that and go, no, I'm going to trust in God. He's faithful. He's never let me down. He'll always deliver me. He's my strong tower. He's everything to me. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah Sikkenu. He's whatever the rest of the Jehovahs are, he's everything that you need. I can't remember all of them, but he's everything that you need. He's everything. He's not lacking in anything. Not anything. You know, the scripture says goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. It follows you. Are you living like it follows you? Or are you trying to grab goodness on your own and grab provision on your own and grab things on your own? Or are you trusting that if I'll just stay seated right here, if I'll just stay in my position of rest, then all those things will be added. All those things will be added. This is the fight right here. This, if you can conquer this, you can conquer anything. Anything. It won't matter what comes to you. Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. He will not be afraid. This is talking about the righteous man. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. You know, you're not afraid of an evil report coming to you. Amen. You're not afraid of a doctor's report coming to you. You're not afraid of a bill coming to you that you weren't expecting. You're not afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he will not be afraid. How many times does the scripture say, even in the Old Testament, fear not and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. Fear not. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Do not shrink back. Do not get weary in well-doing. You can conquer anything. You can conquer this. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I think Mr. David may have found my slap scripture. Let's see. Is that what you sent me, Mr. David? Thank you. That might be it. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Let the righteous smite me. That means let him reprove me. As long as I'm speaking the truth in love, as long as your righteous brother or sister are speaking the truth in love, you ought to be excited about it. You ought to be happy about it. And if they have to slap you to get it through, then okay. All right, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Are you dwelling? Are you dwelling? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. It doesn't say you may not or please don't be. It says you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. We just need to be encouraged in this tonight that you can trust in him at all times, that the promises of God are yes and amen, that you shouldn't have any ounce of doubt or allow any ounce of fear to come into you. You know, fear is a spirit. Fear is not just an emotion, it is a spirit. And when fear comes to you, you better recognize that spirit right away and say, I bind you up, you spirit of fear. You have no place, for the Lord God has given me love and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. I'll not yield to the spirit of fear. And that goes for anything that God's called you to do. If he's asked you to step out in faith in any area of your life and you're letting fear hold you back, you better recognize it and you better step out in fear and trust and step out in fear. Step out in faith and trust him. Trust him. It takes, we listened to a message years ago by Keith Moore called No Risk, No Reward. Sometimes when you step out in faith, there's a risk involved. Meaning, you got to leave your house. You got to leave sometimes your family. Sometimes you got to step out from among those places. You know what he told Abraham? Leave your family and go to the land that I'm going to call you to. And sometimes coming out and leaving our family means coming out from the dysfunction of our family that we've been in, coming out from the wrong thinking of our family that we've been around, and being able to step back and go, okay, that wasn't right, and I realize that caused some kind of thought pattern in my mind, but the scripture breaks down every stronghold. In Christ, I can destroy the strongholds that are built up in my mind, and you can. And you got to take step of faith and step out and do what God's called you to do and don't let fear grip you, because that fear is a spirit. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you and no plague shall come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. He's saying this about you. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's going to deliver you, that he's going to honor you, that he's going to give you long life, that he's going to show you his deliverance, his salvation in every circumstance of life? Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. Because he trusts in you. Are you keeping your mind stayed on him? The minute, we're talking about those critical minutes. We're talking about those pivotal moments when something comes at you. That's the moment. Are you going to say, God, I'm going to keep my mind stayed on you. God, I'm not going to be moved. God, you're going to deliver me. God, you're my shield. God, you're my buckler. Father, you're my deliverer. Father, you're the one that leads and guides me in the truth. My feet will not slip. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 in my right hand. It will not even come near me. It's got to be in you. You've got to believe it when you say it. You've got to have faith in it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we just talked about this, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Proverbs 1:33. But the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident, and courageous. You will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. That is the Passion Translation of Proverbs 1:33. Let me read it again. But the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident and courageous. You will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Oh, just listen and receive the scripture. I could just stand here and just read scripture the rest of the time. And something on the inside of you should be going, yeah. Yes. Yes. Say it again. Give me more. Say it to me again. That's what should be it going off in your spirit on the inside. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 in the Passion Translation. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real and honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Follow the example that we all have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. In all things. You have to ask yourself tonight, and that is my cry, that is my call to you tonight. You have to ask yourself, have I been leaning too much to my own understanding? Can I easily quote Proverbs chapter 3, but is it an actual reality in my life? The Bible says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Commit your way, the Bible says. Commit your way unto Him, and He'll make your path straight. I just want to make sure that we are consistently all casting the weight of our cares on the Lord. That we're not carrying the sin that so easily entangles us, the weights, the burdens, the cares of life. You know, you can just be weighed down with the cares of life. The scripture says that He came to heal every part of you. Every part of you. Every broken part, every dysfunctional part, everything that's in you that's anxious, that's not right, that needs mending, that needs healing, that's what he does. And I just want us to make a mental shift and a spiritual shift tonight where we say, I'm going to not anymore lean on my own understanding, on my own thoughts, on my own way, on my own list, on my own discernment, that I'm going to be a mature believer. Maturity, that this body, we can be a body where we are in unity. I said this a couple of Sundays ago. Listen, if we can get in unity, not just here, but in our homes, you're saying the same thing I'm saying, and I'm saying the same thing you're saying, that we're all on the same page, speaking the word of God, taking dominion in our mind. For the battle that we fight is not carnal. It's not fleshly. It's not anything in the scene. You cannot put your eyes or your focus on anything that you see. Your the scripture says to be heavenly minded is life and peace. Life and peace for you. And I just want us to make the shift that we're going to say, you know, God delivered me. He brought me out of darkness. He brought me out of drugs. He brought me out of dysfunction. He brought me out of all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I've gotten a little bit into trusting my own way, trusting my own plan, worrying about what's set in front of me. And I want us, as Pastor Marcus plays, I want us just to make an honest assessment. Listen, today is the day of salvation, which means today's the day of deliverance in every area of your life. And if you know there's something that you've trusted in your own strength, you've trusted in your own arm, remember Jeremiah said, cursed is the man who trusts in his own strength, his own arm. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. That man will be like the tree planted by the streams of water. And drought can come, and heat can come, and trials can come, and anything can come to you. But how are you going to respond? And I just want us to ask the question, Holy Ghost, have I been reasoning in my mind? Oh, Father, we open our hearts to you and we ask the question, Lord, if I've been reasoning in my mind, I repent. If I've been trusting in my own way and my own strength and encumbered about with many, many things, we repent. If you need to come down to the altar and repent, do it. Do it. Don't let fear grip you. Don't let anxiety grip you. Don't let justification in your mind grip you. Just come down here and repent and say, Lord, forgive me for trusting in my own strength, for worshiping really my own way instead of the Creator. Lord, forgive us that we would not trust in our own plans and our own way, our own devices, our own emotions, our own feelings about something, but we'll trust in you with all of our heart, everything on the inside, and we'll make the adjustment tonight.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you want more, subscribe to our message podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Rating and leaving a comment will go a long way with helping our messages get better circulation. If you'd enjoy watching our weekend messages, visit youtube.com/anchorfaith. We'd love it if you'd subscribe, leave a comment, or a like on the messages. If you'd like to find out more information about us and how we're influencing the world and help support the work we're doing by giving, just visit anchorfaith.com.